Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Coaching Call podcast. On this podcast, we'll cover various types of coaching by trainers in sports, martial arts, fitness, and business. We'll discuss each coach's methods to getting the most out of their respective athletes or clients and how they attempt to change the platform in which they coach. Join us on a fun adventure as we discuss unique coaching styles. Coaching is a universal part of how we get others to get something done. Join your host, Rafael, and his guests on this unique journey in coaching.
Hi, I'm Sifu Rafael, and this is the Coaching Call podcast. If you enjoy this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. This episode was made possible by listeners like you. Good morning, Travis. Thank you so much for joining me on Coaching Call. How are you today?
Good morning, Sifu. Doing great. How are you?
Exceptional. Listen, I am thrilled that we're talking because you have some great and amazing plans ahead of you. And we were talking earlier about it. I am just, I'm taken back. I mean, wow. Big stuff.
I'm honored to be here.
Yeah. Big stuff coming up for you. So before we do that, I mean, we were introduced by an exceptional person who, oh my gosh, he has introduced me to so many people, right? When we first talked, we definitely said, hey, we have to work together. We have to do stuff together. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing now, and eventually we're going to get to your childhood and what made you even get to where you are today. But let's talk about what you're doing now.
Right now, doing two projects mainly, working on building the Larry Raps Foundation. It is a clothing recycling initiative for Uganda to start with, but it eventually will be a global project. And that's to help reduce the waste that is generated in the clothing or fashion industry, and also provide a way to teach students about sustainable fashion, circular economies, and starting their own fashion brand. So it's a very broad scope project. And another thing that I'm working on currently, which is the main inspiration currently, is walking the world's longest walkable road in the current stage of planning that. So walking from Cape Town in South Africa all the way up to Magadan in Russia, about 14,000 mile journey.
Wow. Will that be a world record?
So yes and no. I'll be the first one to walk it, but I will not be, it won't be the longest walk. The longest walk is like 19,000 miles, something like that. George Meaden, something like that. Yeah.
Gotcha. So what inspired you to say, I'm going to walk, and you were talking to me earlier, 8 hours every day with at least one break a day, right? A break a week, right?
Yeah.
What inspired that?
Well, I was on a networking call on a certain platform. We were just having a good conversation, getting to know each other and talking about the things that we have enjoyed in life and not enjoyed and stuff like that. And this person, she sent me a link to an article that Global Rescue did on debunking the world's longest walkable road because it sounded fascinating. So she sent it to me. I looked into it. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. That'd be kind of fun to do. And I kind of just disregarded it, but it stayed with me. And as things sometimes do when they're meant to be more than just a cool idea. Wow. So the more I thought about it and kept looking back at it, the more I realized that it was not only something that would be fun to do, but it was something that I'm going to do. And it's why I'm here.
Gotcha.
And, you know, there's a lot of things like getting into the childhood aspect, but there's a lot of things that came together in my mind that made me realize like this is part of my purpose in life in this moment of my life. So
gotcha.
It was less of a something I want to do and more of a discovery of who I am.
I like that. So what is it that you want to, let's say you did the walk 6 months after you finished the walk, I'm talking future, right? what would you like to have happen because of the walk?
People taking action towards things that they actually truly want to do, not things that they think would be good to do or think that would be right to do, but the things that they actually want to do from like their heart, their soul, their spirit, what calls out to them. What is that call to adventure? I'm really passionate about the call to adventure. I love adventure stories and stuff like that, but it's for me, it's about a transition that could take place, that is about to take place, really. Either, you know, obeying the rules and being told how to live life and what's right to do and what you're supposed to do, or changing the rules, stepping into who you were created to be and walking. And, you know, that's been something that I struggled with. It was a challenge for most of my life, is not having a clear sense of direction or purpose. And that led me down some really not so good or productive paths. So what I would like to see is a lot more productivity and proactive action being taken around what people come to realize and know what they're here for. Because I believe, everyone is here for a reason. There's no accident to being given life.
I agree 100%. So this is not an easy endeavor to walk that long. You've already calculated it's going to take you about 2 years.
Yep.
8 hours a day. Maybe you rest one day, right, out of the week. But it's not going to be... I'm thinking of all the things that are going to be happening. You know, we're talking about weather, right? We're talking about obstacles that are going to present themselves. Also, I'm thinking footwear. You have to have the right footwear for walking that long, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be several boots I'm going to wear out, boots and shoes.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I had a podiatrist who was a client of mine, and she looked at my feet and as she goes, do me a favor, walk over there. And I walked and I'm like, yeah, what's the problem? She goes, how long have you had those shoes? I'm like, oh, you know, 9 months. She goes, too long. I'm like, what? She goes, too long. She goes, your shoes, especially for what you do, should probably last you 6 months the most. I'm like, but they look brand new. She goes, it's not that. It's the way you wear them out.
Right.
So you're going to have to be very careful, right, about how you wear them out and you're walking. Now, let me ask you a question, which maybe a lot of people haven't even thought of it, but have you consulted even with a walking coach?
Not a walking coach, but I have talked to some people that have some specialties in the areas of biology and kinesiology and specifically walking and whatnot. I had a friend who he's a kinesiology coach, and he said that there's much more to an issue than just having a certain mobility constraint. And we talked about, you know, stretching and the proper way to do different movements and stuff like that. We didn't get too much into walking, but the frame that you have and the kind of your structure has a lot to do with how you move. And then somebody else commented on my feet, actually, because I said that I can pop all my joints, like cracking your knuckles. Well, that happens like all over me. And so she wanted to look at my feet, which I thought was, you know, kind of strange, but whatever. She had some really helpful tips and advice on how my feet were maybe not so aligned or properly set. Plus I also had an injury in boot camp. No, MCT after boot camp on one of my ankles that kind of screwed up my ankle. So that led to more complications. So I definitely want to get in talking to some, feet coaches or walking coaches. Yeah. So to get more of a in-depth explanation into the best practices and what to watch out for, stuff like that. So I do need some orthotics.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's very interesting that we're talking just about walking, right? And when we think about it, we take it for granted.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and you're not taking it for granted, because now not only are you talking to people about it, but you understand the fact that when you do it for so long, there are going to be implications that are going to come up, right? Things that are going to just maybe even like sores, right? You may get sore. You may have
plenty of blisters.
Blisters. You may have different things. Hydration is another aspect that you have to consider. Mm-hmm. And I talked about earlier weather, right? Whether it's raining or windy or whatnot. And you're doing it not this year, but you're doing it when?
Starting June of next year.
June of next year. Why June?
I got a feeling.
Sometimes
I just have to go feeling. With that inner sense and not really think about it.
Gotcha. You know,
not getting stuck in the left brain.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I can probably talk to you about this for days, but because it's very interesting to me. You know, one of the things for me when I have somebody on my show, it's I want to get to know them. So this is why I'm diving a little deep into what motivated you. What do you see coming out of it? Because you are, as a coach, you're trying to help people, especially in the business world, to, I guess, you're going into generational branding, right? Transforming the power of your hands into the power of your heart. How important is that for your walk?
It is very, very important. And yeah, generational rebranding is future development.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm taking a hiatus from the business to focus on the walk, but transforming the power of your hands into the power of your heart. It also goes into the main mission or objective of the walk. It's to spread decentralized philanthropy throughout the world and bridging the gap between first world development and third world underdevelopment, and showing people what is actually going on throughout the world, rather than just seeing news and hearing things and reading things, and being able to show people like, this is actually what's happening, but also giving them an opportunity. Hey, this is happening. This is this person. Here's their story. Here's what they're trying to do. Who wants to contribute? Can I get like 1,000 people to donate $10 to this? Mm-hmm. So then that person can get the resources that they need, but not from third party or outside resources, but being able to provide local assistance. So paying for that local assistance so that the people in that area can get that sense of encouragement and empowerment from the people within their community actually being able to provide that, but having the funding and the resources provided from anywhere around the world and doing that the entire way, but also showing people that it doesn't take a lot to make a difference or to provide help or to assist in something or to you know, give when your heart calls you to give. You know people say listen to your heart. Well, what does that actually mean?
Right.
It means when you have this sense of doing something, to don't think about it, do it, because half the time it might not even be for you. It's probably for somebody else. So when you have that sense, it's not well, for me, I can't speak for everybody,
right?
When I have that sense, it's more of a directional compass, and doing rather than thinking. It like getting stuck in the left brain. It's important to not only do with your hands what you can do in the moment that you can do something, but also listening to your sense of self, your sense of spirit, the direction that your being is calling you to move in.
So you're going to take a hiatus from that coaching, right? Because
from the development of the coaching business, correct. Focus on the walk.
Right. So when you're focusing on the walk, you are obviously going to be looking for sponsors, right?
Yes.
So it just reminded me of Forrest Gump when he just ran forever, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, when somebody said to him, you know, like you stepped on, he stepped on poo, right? And he goes, you know, shit happens, right? And they made a shirt out of it. So are you looking for sponsors who are more in touch with the reality of what's going on in the world or even in the communities that you'll be walking through?
Yes. That's a really good question. So I'm looking for sponsors that are in touch with their mission and their purpose and are in alignment with their mission, purpose, and values, and that are not just, well, that are for serving others to the highest possible level of service that they can provide and throughout the areas that I'll be walking, but also for specific purposes as well. So they might not be in those areas, but if they have, they align with the specific purpose, then definitely those businesses, companies, organizations, for sure. There's a few that I do want to get sponsored by or in connection with,
sure.
Like Patagonia, because they're just a fantastic company. They make amazing clothing. They're part of 1% for the planet. They're all about sustainability and taking care of real issues. And they're like one of the top of my list.
Got and it. So we have to send them this video.
Yeah, that'd be super helpful.
I'll make sure you get a copy of it.
Walking with a humanoid robot as well. So having that kind of sponsorship, that's part of the bridge between first world development and third world underdevelopment. But kind of showing that, showing the technological advances that we've made as a species, but also the resolving a stigma maybe around the concept of AI, because it's kind of a polarizing developmental issue. A lot of people think that it's going to destroy the world and take over humanity. A lot of other people think that it's going to be forced for good and it's not going to take over humanity. It's just going to be a good aid. I have a strong sense of it's going to be a very valuable assistant for us, not to take over us. Right. That's just a Hollywood fluff to make good movies.
Right.
Well, mostly good movies. But it's to show that it will be a good, meaningful, service-oriented aid towards us and providing that along the route, because I guarantee a lot of people have no idea what AI is because they're not in that kind of environment or culture or don't have that access to that kind of technology. So it's kind of like a global community building campaign. So whatever I'm doing the research into the companies that I want to get sponsored by, of course, the companies and organizations. So whatever kind of alignment there is, either throughout the route or in conjunction or connection with the root and the values. So,
yeah, I think footwear companies should definitely be looking.
Absolutely.
Of course, you know, somebody who wears, comfy shoes is going to want to be able to say, "Hey, we sponsor." He walked in our shoes for this.
He walked 14,000 miles in these shoes. Like, they're good for you. Yeah.
And he's still good.
Right. He didn't die.
And he didn't die. And you know, he didn't get that many blisters and so forth.
Right.
But, you know, we were talking earlier and you are looking to put a team together. So it's going to be you walking, but you're looking to have a team with you because I'm only imagining that you're also going to be documenting this and maybe almost doing a docudrama, if you will, right?
So, yeah, a bit. Minus drama. If I can remove as much drama as possible, just kind of documenting the actual reality, kind of reality, but kind of documenting the whole experience, let's say. So, yeah, I'm going to need a team. I cannot do this on my own, nor do I want to do this on my own. It's meant to be a team building effort. So I need a team to do a team building effort. And in my mind, it's only possible with a team, and especially a team that is passionate about this kind of this kind of project. So documenting the entire way, not just to show that I walked the entire way, but also showing different people's stories, different communities, the things that are happening all around the world. That's not just talking about what's happening around the world, but kind of just showing like, here's an example of what is actually showing how people are experiencing life. So that's one thing that's really I'm passionate about, is learning about how other people experience life.
That I think that's where the drama is going to come in. Because what we may perceive as normal, someone else may not, right?
Right.
So I think that would be a really cool film once you're done, to showcase. Obviously, it'll be a lot of editing, because you know you're going to take that 2 years and put it into a 90-minute film, if you will. I would think that you would definitely need somebody who's good at camera and editing and all that to be part of your team, so that they can not only document you as you're doing your walk, but maybe people coming along. I'm just thinking Forrest Gump again. People coming along and walking with me, saying, "Hey, I'm going to walk with you," and eventually they'll die off, and then new people come on, and so the adventure keeps building and building. And you never know; you might inspire other people to say, "Hey, you're doing this walk, but we don't want you to be alone." You may have a cavalry of people joining you. The more your word spreads, the more people say, it's a great concept, great idea. We may want to join you either for a portion of the journey, or maybe, you never know, somebody might go, is it okay if I tag along? What would you say to them if they said that to you?
Let's go. Cool. I mean, it's open for anybody who does get inspired by this concept, this idea, the purpose of it, and then the actual what it's meant to serve as. So anybody who does get inspired by it is more than welcome to come walk with me. I love having conversations with people and hearing their stories and talking about my story, and like just building that true, authentic human connection with people. It's just amazing to me. It is. People have said that they want to walk with me for portions of the way, so that's been super exciting and empowering and just really uplifting, realizing, oh, this is not just a massive crazy mission, it's something that makes sense to people, really. It's not just me. So yeah, I am going to set up something where if people want to walk with me for at least portions of the way, they can go in, get the gear that they're going to need ordered for the trip, schedule a time, and pay for whatever the investment's going to be. So going to work on setting that up as well.
You have a lot of work ahead of you.
Again, that's why I need a team as well.
You definitely need a team.
I don't know how to do all of that. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we think about, you know, lodging as well, because you're not going back, right? You're going to keep moving forward. So there's no rear view mirror when you're going to be walking, right? It's not like you have a walking stick and there's a mirror, and so you can keep looking behind you, right? And then the other question is, are you going to be using walking sticks? I'm thinking of all these things.
Yeah, I plan on having walking sticks with me, whether it's just standard walking trekking poles or like kind of utility multi-purpose things. I don't know if there's even those out there, but yeah, definitely going to have walking sticks with me. You know, the elevation changes equate to about 128 miles worth of up and downs. So I'll probably need those. And for the lodging, several people along the way that I've been connected to have said, yeah, whenever you're in the area, you can come stay with us.
Nice.
Like, wow, you just met me, but thank you. That's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
I'll bring a tent and to like a sleeping arrangement for when I just either have to or want to just sleep under the stars. But I'll also be relying on people along the way, relying on humanity along the way to support not only me, but what this is meant for.
Mm. So have you, and here's the thing, you talked earlier about having no direction in your life when you were younger. But earlier, when we talked in private, I said, what is your trip going to look like? And you went through every little town you were going to be going through. And you, it's almost like you were climbing it. I can see it in your eyes. You're going, I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm going here, I'm going. And you were visualizing it as you were doing it in your mind. Mm-hmm. So you definitely have a path already set.
We all do.
What made you pick that path?
I didn't pick it. It was set before me. I just finally found it, realized what it was. And it's okay. So along those lines, where do I start? Okay. So one of my favorite movies is Lord of the Rings. And a very famous quote from that, from those movies is, not all those who wander are lost. And I really loved that quote for a long, long time before I started to understand what it actually meant. And for me, what that meant is, I wandered through life pretty aimlessly, just trying to get by and surviving, not realizing what I actually wanted, what I was meant for, or, you know, what my life's purpose was. And it was like wandering around in the fog in different directions, just trying to, you know, not die. And then coming into this, this walk being shown to me and kind of diving into it, there's what is it? The call to adventure is this thing, that this force of life that springs forth within you that kind of gives you a direction of where to go, like that compass, that direction. And it's not, for me, it wasn't forging a path or finding my way or designing my ideal life or anything like that. It was, I finally found the lamp and I picked up the lamp and I was like, boop, there's the path. Go for it. It's like, oh wow, here's what I'm here for. Let's do it. And then, you know, start walking in it. So like changing the rules, stepping into who you were created to be and walking. You can only make progress in life towards what you go after. And so I had to, still have to go after it, but it's different than going after something that you feel obligated to do as for survival or for any kind of obligations, this, that, or something else, for anything. If there's an obligation attached to it, it's not, in my mind, it's not the right thing, or at least you're not having the right perspective or viewpoint of it. So having this direction, it's more of something that I get to do and something I'm can be excited about, because there's so many different things that I get fascinated with and have so many different interests and passions and things I want to learn. Like, I want to learn as many things as possible, but that's not really beneficial when you're trying to direct your life in something, right? When there's so much interest in something that you have no business doing with your life. Like, so yeah, having that direction was more of a, this path was laid before me and I just finally got to the right vector, let's say, of seeing the actual path, picking up the lamp and just moving forward.
So let me ask you, are you walking now?
I walk every day.
Okay.
Yeah. So I started walking for like months ago.
How long before you walk now?
I walk at least 3 to 4 miles a day, and on the weekends, probably closer to 5 to 7. And I started walking with a pack. So.
Oh. So you get used to it, right?
Yeah. I used to do rucks in the military, but this is a little bit different. So
yeah,
a lot less weight, thankfully.
Well, I want to thank you for your service, you know, for being in the military. What armed forces were you part of?
Marine Corps.
Okay. Oh, so you're a tough guy anyway. So
there was some tough guys, some not so tough guys, but
yeah,
it varies. Yeah, it's relatively.
Yeah. And I didn't mean it in a derogatory way. I meant like, you know, you have choices when you join the military. And we all know that there's four choices that you have. I always considered anybody who said Marines to say, okay, that's the toughest one. I'm going to go there, right?
It's not joining a service. It's becoming a Marine.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate that. Thank you for clearing that up. So how long did you serve for?
I did one contract of 4 years.
Gotcha. Yeah. Very interesting. You know, it's interesting when a lot of people believe I was in the military. It must be because of my habits and the way I'm so well structured, but I've never been in the military, but I think it would have been fine. It was just never my calling, but I do respect that you did that and you went through all that training, right? And that you were there ready to serve our country had you been called to do so, right?
Yeah, it was an interesting experience, to say the least. I learned a lot, and I got to travel. So that was really, that was a great times. I had some not so great times, but such is life. With you get that with everything, good times and not so good times, but you learn along the way.
Oh, yeah. What would you say was one of the biggest lessons you learned as a Marine?
Biggest lesson. Sometimes it's okay to wait. But don't be so quick to hurry up and wait.
Got it. Yeah, I can only imagine that comes very true in battle as well.
Yeah, it's almost like a mixture of patience and urgency, the very cohesion of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. So let's get into, now we're getting deeper into who you are, and thank you for sharing everything you've been sharing.
Absolutely.
You're satisfying my curiosity, so thank you. So let's get into little Travis, when you were 5, 6, 7, 8, 12, whatever it is, what inspired you then? Who do you think motivated you if you look back?
Well, what inspired me a lot as a kid was playing outside, climbing trees, and just having a very, very active and vivid imagination.
Gotcha.
Who motivated me? I don't know necessarily who motivated me, but I did admire certain aspects of several people throughout my life and growing up. So there was different things that I kind of picked from people that I liked and, you know, kind of disregarded the things that I either didn't agree with or didn't like or were just irrelevant to me. So the hardworking nature that my mom always displayed, which I didn't even fully understand until I started growing up and relatively recently. The compassion that my dad had, the different people in the churches that I grew up in, they had different, well, very similar, but also different qualities that I could admire from. And you know, the different teachers that I had in school, the ones that I actually liked. But obviously there was the teachers that I didn't always get along with, but still had admirable qualities about them. So really it's hard to pinpoint specifically who, it's easy to remember the pros and cons of many people that I remember throughout my life. But obviously, you know, my family had a very big influence on me growing up. So I definitely got the hardworking nature from my mom and the compassionate side from my dad, which might even actually be a little bit reversed in some aspects, but That's how I grew up.
Nice. Nice. Where did you grow up?
Richmond, Maine.
Okay.
Small town, about 1,800 people.
Yeah. So that's why I understand you like playing outside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I played outside all the time.
Yeah. I grew up in New York and I also enjoyed playing outside. Different atmosphere for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, outside was definitely an adventure. And you know, from jumping from one building to the other was always fun.
Absolutely.
For us. But building, I'm sure for you, was from tree to tree, right?
Yep.
So I was the Tarzan of the jungle, the concrete jungle, and you were the Tarzan of the regular jungle.
Yeah, I got called monkey a lot.
There you go. Yeah. You know, it's funny. One day I... even though I was not in the military, I did run a bunch of boot camps. So a lot of times I would teach them knife fighting and all that. Mm. And I would take them out to the woods and I would say, okay, guys, meet me here next week. And they would come up and they were like, where's Raphael? Where's Raphael? And I would go, hey guys, look up. And that'd be 30 feet up in the air and on a tree. They're like, how the heck? And then I would just run down. And they'd be like, oh, my God, we thought you were going to kill us or something. I said, no, I just wanted you guys to understand that the concepts of battle is, you know, you never know. And I was teaching them all different fighting concepts and all different defenses and also strength training. So the battles that we fought were basically individual battles compared to necessarily fighting one another. Even though they did do that as well, but it was more of, can I handle it? Can I accomplish this 6 weeks of endurance, of training, of like giving it our all? I mean, I had so many people throwing up in the bushes. It was just part of the way I trained people.
Because, there's a quote. Yes. There's a quote from Unbroken. When Louis Zamperini, who was an Olympic athlete, got caught as a POW in World War II, he was growing up and training with his brother. And his brother would always tell him, if I can take it, I can make it.
Mm. Yeah, that's a beautiful quote. Mm-hmm. You know, when you live by that code also, that makes a huge difference. But I was not the guy that was just telling him what to do. I was doing it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, crap, we got to do what he's doing, too. So that made a huge difference. Instead of me just saying, you do it, and then I would watch. No, right. I would do it first and then say, now do it. You know, so what possessed you to get into the military at all? Because that takes someone some doing. There's different avenues and reasons why somebody would enlist. What's yours?
From an early age, I thought I wanted to go in the military because that's what I thought I would be good at. Mm. I didn't consider myself to be able to be good in college or anything like that. But, you know, I could work and I really loved the concept of the military. I wanted to originally be like special forces or something like that, or air crew. So growing up, I kind of just had that desire. Plus there was several members of my family that went into other branches of the military. Nice. But the thing that actually pushed me into the military was, my first divorce. I got married and divorced at 19 years old, just a, naive kid.
Gotcha.
And, so going through that, I decided I wanted to get out of the area and just do something else. And I was like, well, perfect time to join the military. So I called up the Marine recruiter and I was pretty much like his dream recruit. Because I was like, hey, I want to join the Marines. Can we talk? He's like, yeah. When do you want to come over? I was like, I got time right now. Can I come over right now? Like, yeah, sure. And so we just kind of started the conversation from there. And I picked a job, picked an MOS, or military occupational specialty, that would allow me to leave as soon as possible. Mm. So from the time I joined the delayed entry program enlisting from the end of December 2015. It was like December 30th. And then I left for boot camp May 2nd, 2016.
Gotcha.
So I just wanted to get out and I was running away. So
yeah.
Maybe didn't have Paradise the best of intentions, Island? But what?
Did you go to Paradise Island?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when my brother was also.
Yeah. Right through the middle of summer.
Oh, yeah. So when my brother enlisted, my brother's 4 years older than me. So when he enlisted, I was 14. He's 18. He comes back from boot camp, wakes me up at 4 a.m. And I'm thinking something's wrong. He's like, no, get up. We're going running. I'm like, running? Yeah. He took me, not jogging, running. Mm-hmm. So we ran around the lake. The lake was about 12 miles. I was like, okay. And he did that for the first week. He woke me up every morning. I wound up waking him up the following week. And he's like, no, I'm going back next week. I'm like, nope. I said, you woke me up. Now it's your turn. I did let him sleep a couple of days before he did go back. But then from then on, I got the bug and I ran, you know, from the age of 18, probably till the age of 20 something. And I ran every single day. 12 miles was a breeze, you know, for me, because it just became part of who I was. So every morning before anybody woke up, I already did my run. And even now, a lot of people say to me, my gosh, how do you do so much? I'm like, well, I have a life before you all wake up. They're like, what?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that part of the military stuck with me. It was my brother who put that in my head. And you know, it's been ever since. You know, it's an incredible journey when you can do something for yourself and really benefit from it, right?
Absolutely. Having an active and healthy lifestyle is just priceless. Oh. I was super active growing up, so I can definitely understand. Didn't get to the 12 miles. But did a lot of running when I was younger. So
yeah, it was a lot of fun, you know. But you know, doing all different kinds of sports always drew me, because that physical movement, body mechanics, my gosh, it's an amazing thing that we take for granted. Our bodies, we take them for granted. We don't realize it, but when we can learn to move it.
Mm-hmm.
What a machine we are, right?
Energy and movement is the building blocks of life.
Oh yeah.
It's like we were meant to move.
We believe it or not, right? We have the ability to do so. And we live in a country where a lot of people make a decision not to. And it's then really they easy. Complain. They complain when they're sick.
Mm-hmm. It's really easy not to do anything, or not to do as much, at least. And it's so easy to complain. I complained about everything for years.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I was such a complainer. People probably hated being around me.
What changed?
Last year.
Last year changed you?
Well, December of 2021 turning into the January of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
2021, I got arrested twice for DUIs. Mm. And the second time really kind of shook me, because I told myself the first one that I didn't want to be in that position again. And yet I continued to do the same things and wound up in that same position again. So I had to take stock of where I was and what I was doing. And I didn't tell myself I didn't want to be in that position again. I told myself I will not be in this position ever again. Mm. It's not something that I want my life to be about or anything like that. So I had to take stock and really kind of see where I was in life and who I was in life. Mm. And kind of from a month of transition and reflection, realized that I caused this to myself. So like, I have nobody to blame. Obviously I just need to, you know, put on my boots and do something else. So, it was kind of really difficult to quit complaining, at least so much, but When I started to identify the actual complaint and what it was centered around, I kind of was able to flip it. And instead of doing so much complaining, I'd started getting into more gratitude. So less complaints about what I couldn't change and more gratitude about what I was, what I already had and maybe took for granted. So, switching from complaining to gratitude was a major transition for me.
Nice.
Came from
that. I like what you said that, you know, the complaining about things you can't change, right? Because if you can't change it, you can complain all you want.
Right, just wasting time and energy.
It's going to happen anyway, right? You know, but if there are things that you can change, and they're worthwhile, like what you're doing, right, with your walk, you're doing it to probably open people's eyes to how we all are living and understanding what we can do, how we can help one another. So I appreciate that, you know, you sharing that with us today. And as a coach, you know, that's probably one of the most important things that we have to help people understand, that we, as the only animals that cause ourselves problems. Right?
Yeah.
Because most animals, they're only living to survive. And
right, they just exist. But we can actually live.
Yeah. You know, and it's very interesting when we think of, and they call them man's best friend, right? Dogs. But I've seen so many dogs have trauma in their lives because maybe the way they were raised or the way people treated them. And it's so sad to see an animal be afraid when they actually could be so vicious if they allowed themselves. I mean, I've seen dogs that are like super strong and they cowered at the littlest thing and they're terrified of people. But meanwhile, they can be amazing. And then we have other animals or even other dogs that are just beautiful and they love life and they're happy. But then we also have some dogs who are so sad because of what we have done to them.
So, or haven't done.
Haven't done for them, right?
Yeah.
What is the one thing that you help people, you know, adapt, you know, for the identities, for growth? What is it that makes someone grow, either for their business or themselves, that is fundamentally going to change not only their lives, but the people around them?
Well, excuse me. One of the things that we kind of both touched on is the things that we can change versus the things that we can't change. Mm-hmm. And a quote that I heard a while ago, I don't remember who it was by, but it was, if you don't like something, change it. And if you can't change it, change your viewpoint of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it really just starts with, what about your life are you not satisfied with? And just take stock. Because if you don't take stock, you don't have the awareness of your life or yourself. So if you don't have awareness of something, you can't do anything to change it because you don't know what you don't know. You know what you don't know, and then you don't know what you don't know. So if you don't know what you don't know, how can you change anything about it? It's like the circles of known and unknown Jordan Peterson talks about it. I started following him right after my second arrest. I think I Googled like how to put your life in order or something like that. So I've been following him ever since. And he's been a major pivotal role in that. So taking stock of becoming aware of your strengths and your weaknesses, where you're sufficient, where you're insufficient, and being completely non-judgmental, completely objective, and just laying it all on the table and just looking at it. Like if you look at it and then realize, okay, I don't want that.
Right.
And I don't want that. And I don't want this. When you get everything away from the table that you don't want, then you can start looking at, even if it's a little like tiny portion of what you do want, you can start looking at that. And then from there, you can start to extrapolate more of what you actually do want.
Yeah.
And when you do that, your brain will orient itself towards more of what you do want. So your focus is your future. Like what you focus on determines what your life will inevitably be. I didn't have this understanding last year until later in the year that your mind is so incredibly powerful. It's inconceivably powerful in just the things that you can do. It's incredible. So taking stock, get aware, and focus on what you actually want, because that will draw in more of what you want. What you focus on will draw in more of that. So the subconscious mind is not stupid. It's definitely not stupid. It's been around longer than we have.
Not at all. Not at all. So I put a couple of your websites up here. We have Larry Rose
BS Larry Robbs Foundation.
Right.
Yep.
.org. And so what is this one going to help us understand? What is this website going to do for people?
This is the clothing recycling project that we have started. It's a non-governmental organization started in Uganda that we're trying to build awareness around and continue in the research and development phase towards building that recycling facility.
Very cool. Very cool. And then, of course, we have your LinkedIn information up here as well, so that people can find you on LinkedIn. You know, pain to profits.
Pains to profits.
Talk to me about that.
That was, I was trying to come up with a business name. And it's not really an easy thing sometimes to come up with a name for anything, for me that is. So there was a program that I was trying to get into back in January of last year, and I kind of used their name to get that name. It was Scaling with Systems or something like that. Yeah. And so I wanted to keep it simple and kind of short and to the point, but also talk about the objective of what the business was meant for. So what is the end result that will my services or whatever will provide for the person or party that is working with me? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a multifaceted name, turning your pains into profits. But it's not just the pains that you're dealing with in business, but the pains that you have in your life. Because business is not just about profits and sales and selling your products and services like that. It's an extension of you. And if you treat it like that, then you're transferring your life experience to other people that need it. So it's more than just the pains that you've gone through in your life that you've overcome, and now you have a business to help other people to overcome their pains. But it's kind of this community of, hey, there are certain things that you go through in life, totally understandable, totally fine. Here's how I got through it. Here's how you can get through it too. So turning that pain into something that is profitable, not just for monetary gain, because money is just a tool that we created and that we use for exchanging value. So turning that into something profitable, which is something beneficial to not only your life, but to other people's lives around you, the lives that you touch and interact with. So it's kind of a much deeper concept than just turning your pains into profits. It's turning the struggle that you go through or that other people go through in your life or their lives into something that can be shown as a gain or progression or beneficial.
Yeah. Like the transformation you made, right? From saying, you know what, the first time I don't want to be in this situation again. And then the, you know, DWI. And then the second time is like, I will not be in this. It's
right.
One was wanting and the other one was demanding of yourself.
Right. Words are not to do powerful.
It. Oh, yeah. I want to give out a shout out to my good friend, Roland Osborne, a great, great martial artist and definitely someone who changes people's lives all over the world. And then my other good friend, you know, he's also a cutman, Casey Deckler. He also, he helps fighters keep themselves pretty when they're fighting. So great, great to have these guys on here with us and checking us out. When we think about the life that we are living, it's the actions that we take daily that can impact not only our lives, but the lives of the people around us, the lives of our community. We can make an impact in our community, or we can make an impact, depending on how big we go, in the world. So you are not making just an impact because you don't live in the areas you're going to be walking. You're going there to impact the people in those communities, in those regions, right? How do you feel about that?
Well, it's inevitable to have an impact in life. Mm. And while that's a very physical term, having an impact, what's the other side of that? What is the mark that you're leaving with that impact? Mm. Is it destructive or is it constructive? Yeah. Is it destructive or constructive? Right. And I've spent so much of my life in the destructive zone and being destructive and having a destructive effect on myself, other people, my surrounding. It didn't work. It got me in jail and arrested. And it's not something that I want to have that kind of impact anymore. So the other side of that is constructive. So since my life has a purpose, I'm here for a reason at this specific time in existence. What is the greatest constructive impact I can have with my life through the things that I've learned and the skills that I have? Everybody has superpowers. So how can I transfer my superpowers into something that is the most beneficial for other people in the areas that I can serve? And so that's what I'm going after.
Nice. You're finding your purpose. I love it. Yes. I love it. You know, and it's a lot of people. I mean, I talk to people in their 40s and 50s who still don't have a purpose, and they're like, I'm just living day by day. I'm like, wow. You are, but why don't you take time, meditate? And it's a lot of people don't find their purpose in one meditation. A lot of people think like, I didn't find my purpose. I'm done. No, it may take some time. It may take months. It may take even years to find your purpose. Why are you here? And you said it. We all have a purpose. We all have a reason for being here. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't be here.
Right.
So there is that when we think about each individual has a purpose. And it's fulfilling that purpose, right? It's understanding. You know, I am a man of faith, so I know that whatever mistakes I've made in my life, I've learned from. But I also, I'm not done making mistakes. I'm probably going to make some more. But I'm trying to make the least amount of mistakes I can.
The highest quality mistakes as possible.
There you go. The highest quality of mistakes. But I am still going to, you know, we are human. We're going to err on so many different areas of our lives that you're right, the higher quality, so that we are more present in what we're doing, more present in how we're treating other people. So one of the things that I definitely want to, and I talked to you earlier, and I know your trip is next year. So this year, July 13th through the 16th, we are bringing together some of the top people in the world. I have people coming from all over the world, from Australia, from South Africa, Singapore, Italy, who are coming to New York, and we're doing a Heroes Rising Apex July 13th through the 16th. And Travis, I told you I would love for you to be there. And I know that, hey, you might even find some sponsors there for your walk, right?
That'd be so brilliant.
Yeah. And why not? You know, why not come up there? And I would even start getting your shirt done and just have people sign it and go, hey, if you want to be my sponsor, sign my shirt, right? And then by signing my shirt, you know, you're going to automatically donate. And eventually maybe you have several different shirts because you're going to have so many different signatures that you may have to wear, you know, a couple of hundred shirts.
Bring a
cape. Yeah. Well, that's the Heroes Rising, right? So we're going to have to give you a cape that day.
That'd be interesting.
That would be fun. Listen, we're all going to be flying high in New York on July 13th through the 16th.
Absolutely.
What would you say is before we go, and I want to thank you for your time today, is a word of advice that you would give somebody who is looking to find their purpose?
If you ask yourself questions, your mind will generate answers. But caveat to that, if the answer is easy to come by, you ask the wrong question.
That's right.
And I have a little illustration that I want to make into a poster or something, but imagine, have you ever seen Avatar?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So Pandora, the planet of like floating platforms and stuff like that. Imagine each platform is a little bit higher than the first one, but it's further away. And then it's kind of like like a giant staircase, but it's floating and it's connected by, these rope bridges all along the way, but it just keeps going up and up and up and further and away. And each rope bridge is connected by, on the left side is ownership and on the right side is acceptance. Mm-hmm. And each plank connecting the two is the answer to a question that you don't want to ask. But in order to move forward, you have to own what you can do, accept what you can't change, and answer the questions that you do not want to ask yourself. Because that's the only way to move forward.
That is a good way. I like that. I like that. All right, my friend, thank you so much. And I look forward to this connection getting stronger, right? Day by day. Let's stay connected, my friend.
Thank you so much
for being here.
It's been truly an honor. Really appreciate it.
Right. And we got a shout out to Stuart for connecting us.
Yes. Sure. Thank you, Stuart. Brilliant man.
He totally is. All right. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy. Have an amazing and exceptional day.
You as well. Thank you so much.
You got it.